Right. I think we're going to go ahead and get started. Good morning. It's great to have you all here with us. It's a good crowd. Seems like a lot of interest in going from 2007, the old world, to 2012, so that's excellent. My name is Brian Keller. I'm a lead program manager on the Configuration Manager team. This is my colleague, Wally Mead. We have a lot of material to cover today, so we're going to be moving fairly quickly, but if you miss a concept or you feel like you didn't quite understand something, Wally's actually doing a migration workshop tomorrow on this very topic. It's going to go deep into it, so that'll be very helpful. And then there's some self-paced labs that Wally also has put together. He's basically a superstar on the Config Manager team. You probably already all know that. So he's got some good material on migration that's available outside of this session, so definitely take advantage of that. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the background of migration, why we decided to go ahead and provide this as a feature in 2012, not something you do with tools or get the help of MCS, but something that's actually baked into the product. We'll look at the overview of the migration process, talk about how you would configure it, the types of objects and things you can migrate. We're going to spend some time on distribution points and how some of the migration features that we built into distribution points can help get you to 2012. And then we'll finish up with some best practices and things you can do now in 2007 to prepare ultimately for your migration to 2012. So some terminology, some things I'm going to say, and just so you know what I'm talking about. When I say content, I'm talking about physical files and packages and things that you would push throughout your hierarchy to make available to your clients for downloading and installing software, for example, for getting patches, that type of stuff. When I talk about objects, what I mean is packages, configuration items, software updates, images, a lot of the metadata involved to define these things. When we talk about server settings, we're talking about the site role settings, site properties, things like that. And when we talk about client information, we're talking about the GUID, the inventory, the state of the client, and so forth. So how did customers migrate to 2007? How did you do it? Well, we first made an assumption, well, you know, there was an upgrade, you know, top-down, traditional SMS 2003 to 2007 upgrade. We're sure that most customers went ahead and did that. Actually, when we went out and did some surveys and talked to some of you folks who may have actually been involved in that, we realized that it was actually more side-by-side migration because you were taking advantage of the fact that you were moving to 2007 to go ahead and do some refresh, upgrade your hardware, things like that. And so that was an opportunity for you to go ahead and do that. So instead of doing the upgrade path top-down, you went ahead and did side-by-side. Unfortunately, we thought upgrade was the way to go, and so a lot of you had to use scripts and leverage MCS and different tools to go ahead and do that migration. There was nothing in 2007 that would help you migrate from SMS 2003. Maybe you did some importing and exporting and some funky stuff like that. So the other thing you'd have to do is reassign your clients and upgrade, and it was probably a pretty big hassle. And then obviously trying to preserve or regenerate data, execution history on clients, all of that stuff tended to be kind of a pain in the butt to deal with when you're doing a side-by-side migration with 2007. So with 2012, and how many have attended other sessions on Config Manager so far? We've had quite a few of them, Monday and Tuesday. Okay, great. So you've probably heard about the promises of 2012 and the new enhancements and features, the app model, how we empower users, how we've helped unify infrastructure through some of the additional features around role-based administration and client agent settings and things like that, and how we've really tried to simplify the administration process. So you're probably, hopefully, bought into some of the changes in 2012, and the reason you're here is you're like, you know, well, I got to get there. So that's excellent. But with that brings some fears, right? Okay, how do I operationalize 2012 in my environment? How do I redesign my hierarchy potentially to minimize my infrastructure? How can I move from packages and programs to the new application model? There's a lot of things. I have all this investment in 2007 in the packages and programs and collections I've built. How can I preserve that investment? So you're probably concerned about that. And how painful is it going to be to move to 2012? You want the feature set, but obviously with that comes some operational cost. So we set out to actually build migration into 2012 this time for you. We want to be able to assist with how you can migrate some of these objects that you've invested in 2007 over to 2012. We want you to be able to very quickly move your clients to 2012 and get them the content they need, keep them secure, keep your users productive on those clients. When migrating, we want to minimize the impact to your network. We want to minimize the fact that you might have to redistribute content or push a bunch of stuff across the network. So we want to make sure that you're safe from that as best we can. We want to assist with that simplification of your hierarchy, the reduction of infrastructure. Wally and I did a session yesterday evening, many of you probably attended, where we talked about how you simplify, how you can consolidate, and we want to make sure that with the migration features, we can go ahead and assist you with that. And then be able to reuse hardware that you've got in place today. So I mentioned this functionality is built in, so there's actually a feature within the console that you can access. It's a migration node under administration, and that's where you'll do all your management of the migration. So some of the functionality that we built into migration, I'll talk about it briefly, the ability to migrate objects. Remember, those objects are collections, packages, some boundary information, metering rules, those types of things you'll be able to just simply migrate over from your 2007 site to 2012. We want to maximize the use of your distribution points and the content that's out there. So allowing those 2012 clients to get migrated content from a 2007 distribution point, kind of that migration period where the clients are maybe talking to a 2012 MP, but they're still in the boundary of a 2007 distribution point. There's some roaming issues you'd run into, and we want to be able to maximize your ability to take advantage of that. The ability to move content to distribution points without having to send it over the wire. So in yesterday's talk, Wally and I mentioned in detail pre-staging. If you didn't attend that, check it out. There's definitely a few slides on that in that presentation, but ultimately it means that you can take content, export it out from one site, move it to a distribution point, simply import it. All that is understood by the hierarchy, and that content is just there for clients and available without having to send that content over the wire. Another big thing, we talk about side-by-side migration. There's actually one piece of the product that isn't side-by-side that you can simply upgrade, and that's the distribution points. We felt that was very important for you to be able to do that without redistributing content. We also have some features around being able to take secondary sites at a branch location and simply make those into 2012 distribution points. Because as part of the reducing of infrastructure in the branch offices, many of you probably have secondary sites to control content flow to branches. And with the new improvements in the 2012 distribution points around being able to install a distribution point on a server or a client and the bandwidth controls and throttling that we allow, you'll be able to reduce the need for secondary sites in your hierarchy. Also, the investment you've made in your MOF files around classes and things that you're collecting, we wanted to make sure that you could import that easily into 2012 and take advantage of collecting that data as quickly as possible. And then a key that was a concern of many of the customers that I talked to was being able to retain that advertisement execution history. So not wiping out that information, and then when an advertisement becomes a deployment in 2012 and goes down to the client, it would rerun potentially. We don't want that to happen. We want to be able to be aware that this software or this script or whatever it was has run already and not all of a sudden start installing things on clients just because they migrated over to 2012. So we're going to go into some details about all of those things as we move throughout this presentation. Planning and deployment really was focused on the infrastructure presentation we did yesterday. We're really focusing on migration here, as I mentioned. So this is the plan, deploy, migrate, but it's really migration. So you've done that. Let's get you into migration here today. So there's basically a concept known as a migration job. And there's three types of jobs, migration jobs. The first one is object migration, which is being able to take a package in a program, potentially, or a software update package, and simply moving that over to your 2012 site. Also, you can migrate collections. Okay, so basically take a collection, which has a query and defines a set of resources, and simply move that over. I think it's a very good feature, obviously. I've seen hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands of collections that have been defined in 2007 in your environments, and so we want to make sure that you can move those over to 2012. And then being able to migrate objects that have been changed in 2007 back into 2012. So handling that migration period, that gap period, where you're still doing some administration in 2007, but want to make sure those 2012 clients can take advantage of any of the changes or edits that you've made. So basically, you can migrate objects based on type and instance, so you can pick things. You don't have to just migrate everything. Over to 2012, you can kind of select the things that you want to migrate. And then for collection migration, one of the neat features is that you can just migrate a collection simply as is, or you can migrate a collection and bring over all the associated objects associated with that. So if I have an HR collection with my HR resources or the devices that are used in HR, and there's a bunch of advertisements and packages and programs specific to that collection, we can bring that all over together. So just to define further some of the objects supported by migration, I've mentioned some of these, but we'll recap it very quickly. Collections, okay, so advertisements come over via collection migration. Boundaries, your software distribution packages, and virtual application packages, your software update information, your operating system deployment, OSD info, your baselines for settings management, which was known as DCM, asset intelligence, customizations, and software metering rules. Okay. So with that, let's dive into the console. Wally's going to show you how to enable migration and do some simple migrations. Thanks, Wally.
Yep. Press the appropriate button, and there we go. Okay, good. All righty. So welcome all. It seems like Brian and I always get you guys right before food. So we always are holding you up for your food aspect. So like I said, we'll try and get through this. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, though. So we've got, Brian mentioned we're doing side-by-side. There's no in-place upgrade. So I've got a 2007 environment set up, which I'll show you in a second. And then we have our 2012 environment. So the first thing you do is you go to the administration homepage or workspace, and you have this migration node. And the migration node is your dashboard or scorecard on where you are in your migration process. And you can see here, it's all empty. We know nothing right now. The first thing you have to do to start a migration is to tell the ConfigMan 2012 environment about your 2007 environment. And you do that by a process called specifying the source hierarchy. So I'm going to specify the source hierarchy, I specify the site server name for ConfigMan 2007, my central site. This case is called SMS server. And now we're going to reach across the network to find resources that are available in that 2007 environment that we can migrate over. So we have to do a couple of queries. One is through WMI to the SMS provider, and another one is to SQL Server to find objects in the SQL Server database. So I have to specify an account that can be used. You have two options here. You can specify a user account or a computer account. So if your site server computer account, the 2012 central site, central administration site server, can access those two resources on ConfigMan 2007 site, great. My case, it won't work. I'm in two different forests with no trust relationships. So I can't do a computer object. So I have to use a user account. So I'll go ahead and specify a user account. It's going to be a new account. If I had access to the remote domain, I could go ahead and browse to it. I don't have, again, because of the scenario here with the two different untrusted forests. So I'll do SMS domain administrator. Make sure I spelled that correctly. And then the super secret password, a password. Doubt you guys can get by with that in production. Since I'm typing this in and I'm a little impaired, I want to make sure I didn't fat finger something. So we give you the ability in 2012 of doing a verification of your account. So we're going to verify. The first use of this account is going to be to the WMI namespace, SMS provider. So I want to drop down and change this to WMI. My SMS provider computer is the site server. It's all a self-contained image. And I want to go to the SMS namespace in WMI. So I'm just going to say test connection. And provided I supply the proper credentials, it comes back and tells me this account I've specified does have rights to query to WMI. Now, for SQL Server, I can use the same account or I can use a different account for SQL Server access. I'm just going to use the same account, so I just want to verify it as well. It has rights to SQL Server, so go back to SQL. I'm not using a named instance, so I'll leave that at blank. And I just want to verify the SMS database, or ConfigMan database, but call it SMS. And the site code is TST, so I'll say test connection. And now I've got an account that can be used for accessing both the SMS provider as well as the SQL Server, the ConfigMan site database. And then down below, I specify for the second access, which is SQL, what account do I want to use? I'm going to use the same one as the provider. So I'll go ahead and click OK. This kicks off what we call the data gathering process. This is the process where the ConfigMan 2012 central site server Central Administration Site server, is connecting up remotely to that ConfigMan 2007 central site, querying WMI through the SMS provider, and querying the Config Manager site database, stuff in SQL Server. I don't know why it's sitting here like this. It should be cruising. Oh, there it goes. In MSIT, we have about 290-some-thousand objects, computers that we manage, and it took only 7 minutes to query the entire database and provider. So it should not take very long at all for you. Once you've done the initial data gathering process, it'll all be Delta updates from then on. So now you can see our migration dashboard has some information. It tells you here that we have one site in our source environment. If I had multiple primary sites below my central site, it'd tell me how many primary sites I had and what my central site server computer name is. And then it tells me down below that I have 95 objects in this site that I could migrate. Collections, advertisements, packages, those things that Brian was just showing you on a couple slides ago. On the right-hand side, lower right, it says I have 3 clients that I could migrate. So really, really small environment. You guys all, hopefully you don't stand up in a ConfigMan environment for 3 clients. But you can. You probably have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of clients that you want to migrate over. But these colors and these charts will change as we do migrate information over. And then upper right are migration jobs. Migration jobs, as Brian mentioned, those are the commands that say, I want you to migrate this information over. So the next thing you would do is, on a periodic basis, we're going to automatically re-query your ConfigMan 2007 site server. So if you look at your source site, it says TST is my site code, go to properties, it shows you that on a 4-hour interval, we're going to go back and re-query. Brian mentioned that this is not an overnight process. So you're going to be continuing to manage your ConfigMan 2007 environment. You're going to create new objects. Brian's going to go modify collections or packages or advertisements. I want to know about those changes. So we're going to keep going out there and re-querying to find out about new or modified objects. You can change the interval from 1 hour to 24 hours. And you can always kick off a data gathering process anytime you want to. The other thing Brian mentioned is that you can share distribution points. And if you go down to the bottom of the preview pane, there's a tab called Shared DPs. And right now, we don't know about any. You have to explicitly say, yes, I want to share DPs, for the reason that it's an all or nothing proposition. You can't state, if I have 50 DPs, I can't state I want these 3 shared with ConfigMan 2012. It's all 50 or none of those 50. So it's an explicit action. So up on the ribbon, you just go shared distribution points. It has a checkbox. You say yes, which is selecting the checkbox and clicking OK. It kicks off another data gathering process, which is going to be fairly quick because it's just looking for Delta information, which is now the distribution points with content that can be shared with ConfigMan 2012. Later on, we'll go ahead and migrate over or upgrade one of these distribution points in our demo later on. But for right now, it takes it a moment to populate here in the dialog. If I had a central site with multiple primaries, I'd see my primary sites listed here so that I could set up mappings to my child primary sites. Because my child primary sites might have some objects that they created locally, collections, packages, and so on, that aren't at the central site. So I might have other objects locally owned that I want to go ahead and migrate across. Let's go ahead and try this again and change nodes. Go back and click a couple places and UI refreshes. And there we go. So you got 2 distribution points here. One is a member server or a remote DP, and one is the site server. We support server shares, servers, as well as branch DPs for sharing between the 2 different platforms. Okay, so we've got some basic information. Let's go ahead and create a migration job, and we'll come back and do a shared DP in a little bit. So migration job, Brian mentioned we have 3 different types. We're going to go ahead and do a object migration. So we'll just type objects. We'll try and type objects. And then you have the 3 different types of objects, or 3 different types of migration jobs. Collections, which we think the majority of you are going to use, recreate this collection over there and get all objects that are targeted to this collection. Object migration, and then objects modified after migration, as Brian mentioned. So this one will do an object migration. This dumps for me a listing of all the objects that I can migrate over that were identified at that ConfigMan 2007 environment. So now I can cherry pick which objects I want. So if Brian handles the software distribution portion of my environment, I can take all my packages, my software distributions, my virtual packages, get them all brought over so Brian can immediately start doing his work in software distribution in 2012. If Mark is doing the operating system deployment, let me go grab the task sequences and images and drivers so that he can start doing his OSD work. So I can just pick what type of objects I want. So I can take boundaries if I want to. I can go ahead and take my software distribution packages. It shows you all my different packages, and it doesn't make sense to take this package here. This is a hotfix to enable power management in R3. That's built into ConfigMan 2012. I don't need this hotfix, so I don't need that package. My virtual applications, I probably want to bring over my AppV packages. So I can just pick and choose what type of objects I want to go ahead and bring over to my environment. So I pick and choose what I want, click Next. It lets me specify my content ownership. For content being packages, I have to specify if my 2012 site server wants to go grab those source files and dump them to one of Brian's 2012 DPs, I have to know where to get those source files. So what site server in 2012 is going to own that process of going and getting those source files and distributing them to a 2012 distribution point? That could be your central administration site, or in my case, I also have two child primary sites. I'll just leave it at the CAS for our example. Security scope. The security system, as Brian introduced yesterday in our talk on role-based administration, and Mark talked about it on Monday in our overview presentation, is completely different. And we now have security scopes to help limit what objects individual administrators can see. We have, in this environment, just one, but maybe I need to create a security scope that I forgot to create earlier, so I want to go ahead and create one for Brian. So Brian's objects. And then I can go ahead and select that security scope. I could have pre-create that in the security system, or I can create it on the fly here as I want to. And just select whatever scopes you want these objects to be assigned to. And then review information, just information what's going to happen with some of these specific type of objects. You can see down in the lower right, you can save this to a file if you want to, so that you can go ahead and print it out, review it at your leisure, whatever you need to do. We'll go ahead and just say next. And now, when do you want to run your job? The default is run the job right now, exit the wizard, the job kicks off. Top option says don't run it at all automatically. Let me create the job and I'll kick it off when I want it to run. The bottom option says, well, I want to create it now, but I'm on vacation next week when I want the job to run. So I want to go ahead and create the job scheduled to run next week after hours so there's less impact on the network. The middle section is what happens if I choose to migrate over an object that already exists in ConfigMan 2012. The default is don't overwrite it, just don't migrate that old object over. Let me keep the new one. If you choose that third option that Brian talked about, objects modified after migration, the bottom option would be selected automatically. Overwrite those objects. So if Brian changed his collection, let me get those collection changes brought over. If he modified the advertisement properties to now include sub-collections, let me go ahead and bring that across. And then down at the bottom, you guys have invested in organizational folders for queries, for packages, and so on. Bring over those folders to the 2012 admin console so you get the same organizational structure that you had before. So I'll just take the defaults for all those because they work great. Summary page says, hey, here's what you're going to do. And I say, go do that. So it creates the migration job. And ignore, again, the formatting. It's just screen resolution. Down in the bottom, you can say objects and job. It shows you all the different objects in that job that are going to be migrated. And then you can just refresh, and it'll tell you here it's running right now. It's migrating, in this case, PowerPoint Viewer. And then it's going to go through the entire list of all those objects and get them migrated over. So while that's happening, it just takes it a couple of moments. Let me just kick over and show you my ConfigMan 2007 site server. The big thing I want to show you here is that in that planning and deploy portion that Brian had, you have to specify, or you have to verify that you have the correct version of ConfigMan 2012. Oops, I probably should have done a box instead of that. There you go. Inside that crooked circle, you see it's 4.00.6487.2.
That's not bad left-handed, Wally.
Thank you. It's better than right-handed, even without the cows. I don't do that circle thing. I was pressing the wrong button, sorry. We only support migration from Service Pack 2 of ConfigMan 2007. So make sure that you're running that version. We don't care about the R2 and R3. This site actually does have R3 installed, and we don't care about that. We're looking for the 6487.2 is what's important for us. Okay, go back over there, and that migration job is completely finished by now. Just do a refresh here, and select it, and then refresh it. And we'll see that everything's migrated over. So I'll just show you real quickly what got migrated. Because we share DPs, we did create a couple of boundaries. We imported the boundaries from the 2007 environment. Here's my 80 site, and here's my IP address range. We did that specifically for the shared distribution point scenario. So we created a boundary group that is for each of those DPs that allows clients to find those distribution points. So the 2012 clients can now find those shared DPs when they want that one of these migrated packages. We also migrated over the software distribution objects. So we brought over some applications. The two virtual applications from ConfigMan 2007 are migrated over as applications in this brand new application model that Brian talked about a little bit, and he's going to talk about this afternoon in another session. And they migrate over with the app V deployment type. So you can see the deployment type is designated as app V. So we take virtual packages from 2007 and create them as applications with an app V deployment type in 2012. But for physical packages, those come across as physical packages. So here's CCM framework tools, here's DCM authoring tools, the two packages we brought across. Actually, we brought across this one as well, that wizard. Software updates, I don't think I selected any software update stuff. Maybe we'll get that later on with the collection migration. But there was a get brought across. And then we didn't do any asset compliance stuff yet. Oh, I did some asset intelligence. I did select that. So catalog. So here you can see the customized categories and families that we brought across for asset intelligence. So that's just showing you real quickly some of the object migration objects. Brian's now going to talk about collection migration, and then I'll show you how to migrate collections and objects associated with those collections.
Awesome. Thanks, Wally.
PowerPoint.
Hey, there it is. Thank you.
Hiding on you.
Hiding on me. Excellent. You know, I noticed something when we were doing the demos that I should have changed the time to this time zone because I'm looking, it's West Coast, Seattle time, and I'm saying 7:30 in the morning. What the heck am I doing presenting 7:30 in the morning? I was craving, you know, one of those Starbucks lattes that I get every morning. But actually, I feel pretty good. Been here a few days, and it helps. But yeah, next time I'm going to change the time just for psychological reasons. So let's talk a little bit about software update management, some of the prerequisites for being able to do migration. Make sure that you've got software update point working on 2012. You've done your first sync, so you're ready to go there. And make sure that you're using the same classifications and products in 2012 that you were using in 2007. That's going to help you out a lot. So what we do to support software update migration is we do a conversion of your update list to the new update groups. We take your software update deployments and migrate those to deployments and groups. Now we take all your software update packages and your templates and migrate them over. And then from there, you can take advantage of some of the new 2012 features around automatic deployment rules and things like that. But we'll get all your base stuff over and converted and set up for you. One thing to note is that with the 2012, you won't be able to migrate any custom updates. How many people use custom updates and SCUP? Okay, so a handful, but definitely take it note of this, that you have to then use the new SCUP 2011 to publish your third-party updates back into the software update point and get those rolling. It shouldn't be too much of a hassle for you. So for operating system deployment, we just support taking your OS images, your packages, your task sequences, and your drivers and driver packages. So the third-party integrated task sequences, like the kind you might get from MDT, those won't migrate or may not migrate. You'll have to test them out. And then for the migration of task sequences, we'll automatically reference the 2012 client installation package for you. So things we're doing there for you in operating system deployment. DCM, we've changed the name. That's the most important thing you need to know. Settings management is what we're calling it, and we support taking your CIs, your baselines that are created by yourselves, and maybe ISVs that may have supplied you with some baselines. We'll go ahead and take those and migrate those over. And then one thing to note is that we do have schema support for 2007 config packs, so you can import those and add those to 2012 through your import feature. Okay, so for content migration, package source file path is going to be migrated as is. We really want you to start using UNC paths, which is what we support in 2012. So that's one of the, hey, preparing for migration with your existing 2007 hierarchy, that's one of the things to take note of. So for software distribution, the package and programs, we just take your classic package programs, migrate them over. There's two ways that you can migrate those. You can migrate them just by selecting them via the object migration that Wally was showing you a moment ago. The other way they can come across is if you migrate the collection, and then the associated objects that we mentioned will come over with that collection. So that's one way to do it. Use the UNC mapping, I mentioned that. Programs will be disabled by default during migration, so you'll have to go in and get those re-enabled. Interesting, so when Wally was showing you the demo, he showed you how with the virtual application packages that you had in 2007, R2 and beyond, we will take those and convert those to the new application model, because that's really the only way to support AppV in 2012 is to use the app model in our deployment types. So we'll automatically convert those. We do not convert kind of your classic package programs. We bring those over as is. They'll work as is, no problems. Now, we do have a tool called the Package Conversion Manager that we can use to convert some of your packages and programs to the new 2012 app model. So it's a pretty neat tool. Oops. There's some funky animation there. So essentially, you run the tool. It'll analyze all your packages and programs and determine the readiness. If it's MSI, it's a lot easier for us to pull the state-based information, like the detection method and other things. If you're definitely this afternoon, we have a session on app management and app models. So if you're unfamiliar with some of these concepts, definitely check out that session. But essentially, we'll take your package programs, we'll review them with a tool that runs within the console, and we'll be able to determine whether they're ready to be converted to app model. Some things convert better than others. Scripts or black box types package programs are very difficult for us to convert to the app model because we can't pull out relevant information like detection method and execution, command lines and things like that. So we'll go ahead and convert those packages that we deem as ready into applications with associated deployment types. Okay, and then we'll also analyze your collections that you have associated with those package programs because we know a lot of you are using collections to determine whether an app should be installed or not, or whether it's already installed on a given system. So doing that kind of state-based analysis of prereqs and whether something is installed or not installed, you're kind of doing that today through your collections. We want you to move away from that, so we're going to look at the collection queries and try to determine if we can pull out some global conditions and some settings and requirement rules from those collections and add those to the applications. And then there's a dashboard within the console that kind of shows the progress. It's pretty neat. So something to check out definitely when, first you can certainly migrate over your package programs, but ultimately we'd like to see you get to that model. I'm sure you're already looking at how you can do that today, so there's this tool that will allow you to do that. I'll skip on. So some other things to consider, asset intelligence customizations, and Wally talked a lot about this when he was walking through the demo. We pull over the meeting rules, search and administrative folders, the boundaries come across, and we talked about AppV. So your reports, your custom reports that you may have developed and are using are not going to be migrated over. So you may have to rewrite those. If you're already using 2007 R2 with the integrated reporting services reports, then you can just simply export and re-import those in. So collections, this is a big piece of migration. We base migration off collections for those associated objects. We know you invest a lot in collections. So we have some new changes in 2012 that you'll need to consider for when you migrate your collections. First off, we don't do mixed collections, so no user and device supported collections. It's either device or user. We don't have the concept of sub-collections. And so for 2007, there's a couple cases where we see customers using sub-collections. So one way is to kind of organize the collections into a folder-like structure. So in 2012, we actually have folders for collections where you can create an organizational list of folders and put collections under that. So that's how we would deal with that today. And then the ability to stagger deployments or reuse and kind of bring folks in and out of a deployment for testing purposes and piloting. So today we have a concept of composable collections. So there's some things that we have to do during the migration process to bring some of those collection types into the new world. And Wally, you're going to show them a little bit of that later with the collection demo.
Yep.
Awesome. So collection migration, primary goals for collection migration, we want to make sure that we preserve your investment. We know that collections have taken up a lot of administrative time, writing those queries. We want to make sure that we're going to preserve those investments. We want to be able to then assist with a fully migrating collections and all their dependent and associated objects. And we also want to make sure that we prevent the unintentional increase of scope, because the fact that collections are global data now in 2012 means that they'll replicate throughout the hierarchy and could be used to deploy software where you don't want it to go. So we have to make sure that we can prevent that from happening during a migration. So preserving your investment. If you had, in 2007, if you were using collections to kind of organize your collections, it's kind of in a folder-like structure. Let's say you had desktops and sites, and then you had your Redmond's collection, and underneath that you had, say, B41. This is Building 41 and Building 44. We use those examples because Wally and I actually work in Building 44. So you have it kind of organized that way. Essentially, what you're going to do is when we migrate it, we're going to interpret the way that you've organized your collections in 2007 and build a structure that's 2012 ready. So interpreting in 2007 what you had done with your collections, where you'd said, these are desktops, but I don't have any actual resources associated with that. I have another collection underneath that. Here's sites and Redmond, but the meat of this is actually the Building 41 folks and their devices and the Building 44 folks and their devices. We're going to go ahead and move that over and insert folders. So we'll have a desktop folder, a sites folder, a Redmond folder, and then the actual collections that contain members will rebuild as collections. So you'll see that happen during a migration. When we have sub-collections, which you have a sub or link collections, we don't have that anymore in 2012, so we create what's called a composable collection with include membership rules. So if you had Redmond and you had a few members in there, but then ultimately you had Building 41 and Building 44, what we'll do is we'll maintain the Redmond collection. We'll put a folder called Redmond folder, which we'll name it the same as that as the parent of the sub-collections, and then we'll go ahead and create Building 41 and Building 44 under that. So that's important to understand that when you do that migration, you're not going to get it completely as is. We've been talking a lot about as is migration. It's not going to quite be as is when it comes to some of these specific collections. And I'll have Wally jump in and show you some stuff in the UI. Thanks, Wally.
Yep. Very good. So this is our 2007 environment again, showing you the collections. And I have three collections down at the bottom. I have a general collection, config NAN clients. It has a lot of different objects associated with it that we'll use for migration. Yes, I do. And while that's expanding, I guess I won't. I'll wait. I also have two other collections. One is main building, which is an empty collection, nothing targeted to it, no membership rules, with two sub-collections in it. And each of these sub-collections have membership rules for them. And then I have another collection, North America. It has no membership rules. It has two linked collections inside of it with appropriate members, and I have an advertisement targeted to this root collection called North America. So that'll hit those three different scenarios Brian talked about, just regular collection migration, empty collection with sub-collections in it, and then a empty collection with an advertisement targeted to it with linked collections below it. So you get all three of those scenarios. So we're going to go ahead and bring over these, in essence, six collections. No, what is it? Seven collections we'll bring over. That's what we're working with from the beginning, and let's go back over our CAS. Here I went back and I did another data gathering process just to show you that now once you've done data gathering and migration, now on your shared distribution points, you can see the number of hosted packages that have been migrated over to the 2012 environment that are hosted on these two shared distribution points. So that means that on the first computer member as a shared DP, there's five packages there that a ConfigMAN 2012 client could go and access just like a ConfigMAN 2007 client could. And there's four on the site server DP. So we keep track of that information for you so you know who could potentially be using those DPs for what packages. Anyway, so we're going to go back to our migration jobs. We're going to create a new migration job. And I'm going to call this Brian's Collections. I'm going to try and type it. That's close enough. And then we'll do collection migration. And now this wizard just shows me all the collections that are available to me. So So it gives me a flat listing of all the collections. If you have, like Brian mentioned, some people have hundreds and thousands of collections, and you want to scroll through here, you can do the search. Go up here and search and put in properties, like want to go property of status or name and want to specify what I'm searching for. You can do that to find what you're looking for. In our case, it's pretty simple. I'll take this one, which is we show you the site code, whether it's a device or a user collection, and whether or not it's been migrated already. Then main building and North America, I'll take both those. You see that main building and North America as empty collections, we already identified them as going to be folders. They're going to get copied over as folders, and then floor one and floor two are sub-collections. Servers and workstations are linked collections. So I'll select all those collections to be brought across. You have this bottom checkbox, migrate objects that are associated with the specified collections. By default, that's going to find all the packages, advertisements, software updates, task sequences, DCMs, etc., that are targeted to any one of these collections. If I just want to bring the collections over and no objects, I can clear that bottom checkbox. But we want to obviously bring some objects over as well, so we'll leave that. Now it shows me all the objects that are associated, targeted to any of those collections. And if you look at my software distribution packages, you'll see it says a couple of them are already migrated, because I did those in the object migration. So we tell you whether or not something's been migrated over or not. Now, in this case, it doesn't make sense to bring over this advertisement for KB977384 because, in fact, that's that R3 hotfix. So it doesn't make sense to bring it over. We don't need it. And if do the same thing here, I don't want the package for it either. But now we'll bring over some software update templates, some deployments, some deployment packages. One of the things Brian had on his slide was in order to migrate over software update stuff, you have to have your software update point pre-synchronized. So it has to already be synced with the same metadata source as your ConfigMan 2007 environment. So you have to have the same metadata in there to be able to associate these objects properly. We don't bring over your metadata. We don't bring over your repository. We bring over these type of objects. And then baselines and CIs. Oops, didn't want to do that. I want to go to configuration items. Now watch what happens when I click, say, I don't want this one CI. We understand the relationship between this CI and the baseline that's referring to it. If I don't bring over the configuration item, I can't migrate over the baseline that refers to that configuration item. So we understand that object relationship. So if I click continue, it's going to then clear the selection for that baseline. Same thing would happen with the package and advertisement up above. Alrighty, so I click next. Collection owner or content ownership, we talked about that previously. Security scope, these are Brian's objects. I'll also make them in the default scope. Collection limiting, Brian mentioned that's one of the things that we want to make sure doesn't happen. We don't want to increase your scope. All collections in 2012 have to be limited to the membership of another collection. That was an option in 2007. So if I had any collections in 2007 that did have a collection limiting scope set up, and now I have to change that because I'm not migrating over the linked collection, I would have the option here of specifying the collection I want to link or limit these new collections to. And I don't have any minor all normal collections, not limited by anything else, so fine. Site code replacement. Sometimes you guys have queries in your collection membership rules that one of your query rules is site code SMS site equals. And then you specify your site code. So all clients in Redmond, all clients in the site Orlando. Well, when you're doing a side-by-side migration, you have to have new site codes. So the Redmond site code is no longer valid. The Orlando site code is no longer valid. So when you bring over that collection with this query, you're going to have no members. You're not have anybody in the site code Redmond or Orlando. So this allows you to replace your existing site codes and queries to new 2012 site codes. You have to have brand new site codes. You can't use the same site codes in 2012 that you used in 2007 for migration. We'll block that. So if you have new site codes. So this gives you guys the opportunity to fix those site code mistakes you made today and you have in place, because you get to recreate brand new ones. I don't have any of those issues, so we're good. And then same thing with that review information. You can save it off and print it out later on. Same settings. The one setting that is different is down at the very bottom. And that is enable programs for deployment in ConfigMan 2012 after migration. That's the thing Brian mentioned, that your programs by default are disabled when you migrate them over. So when you migrate the advertisement over, it becomes a deployment. It's disabled by default. It's not active. You can either enable it on the individual program, or I can select the checkbox here and it will enable all my deployments, my software update deployments and my advertisements that I bring across. So that's an option you have there, or you can, again, you can do it individually. I'll do the summary. Everything's good. We now have a second migration job, Brian's collections. And we go to objects and job. Got a whole bunch of things here to migrate across because of the objects we had along with our collections. So you see it skipped two folders, or two collections that are becoming folders, and it tells you this collection was identified as a folder, which we saw in the migration wizard, and that it migrated over a couple other collections, and it's migrating over some other objects. So while it's migrating those objects, we can go to assets and compliance. We can go to device collections. And then you see here's the normal collection I migrated over called Config Manager Clients. So it brought that collection over with its whatever membership rules it had. It was a query-based membership rule that had a query looking for ConfigMan 2007 clients. Here's the composable collection Brian was talking about. So this is that collection that had, it was an empty collection, had linked collections below it, and it had an advertisement targeted to it. So what we did is we give you a name saying migrated collection, North America, and sub-collections, linked collection, sub-collection, same thing. If I go look and show you the membership rules, you can see here's the two new rules that are include rules. So we're including membership of another collection. So we're including those two, what used to be linked collections, as composable collections in our new terminology. And then we also created folders. Now you don't see the folders by default, so you have to click device collections, and you have to do a refresh. And now you get the expander. So here's our main building folder, and those two, what were sub-collections in 2007, are now just regular collections as members are inside the main building folder, but they're not sub-collections anymore because we don't have those. And then you can see they have appropriate members based on the query rule. And then North America, here is the North America folder that was the empty collection, and with its two included collections, include membership rule collections, which again have appropriate members in it. So that's how we bring across your collections, either as just straight collections you bring them across, or we create folders based on those empty collections and then bring your sub-collections or link collections as just members of those folders. You can directly create your own folders as you want. So just go to device collections or user collections and then folder. Create your own organizational folders. And that gets rid of that need for empty collections with sub-collections for organizational purposes. And the composable collections or include rule is how you would go ahead and get around that scenario Brian talked about with the empty collection and then maybe has a couple clients in it, and you test it out, works great, then go back to modify your advertisement, include sub-collections. And then that will replicate down to your sub-collections. Now you just composably add a new collection, like main building, or a floor one, floor two, whatever the case is for you. Now last thing before I kick it back over to Brian, let me just go back and show you a couple of things that got migrated over. Software updates, here's the software update groups that got migrated over. Here's my two deployment packages for software updates that got brought over. So those got brought over. If we go back to my programs, and my packages, here again is the program, but now it's been deployed. So here's the advertisement that got migrated over for the migrated collection or the Config Manager Clients one. And in this case, it's both per system unattended. I go to the program, per system unattended, and go to its properties, the advanced tab. Here is that disable option. So here's what happened because we didn't select that bottom checkbox to enable our advertisements. It went ahead and disabled the program. So these are not really valid advertisements. They're not active. Nothing will happen. And the same thing happens with your software update group deployments. You notice here the enabled column says no because we had disabled all the real deployments. So I just go back and I can right-click this guy and make it enabled, or I could have selected that one checkbox at the end of the migration wizard. All righty, good? Back to Brian.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. So let's talk a little bit more about some collections and some things that you want to consider when moving over the objects that Wally was showing you earlier. So, for example, we have this new global replication. If you attended yesterday's session, you get a chance to learn more about our global replication. You're going to know that a collection is a global object, meaning that it moves throughout the hierarchy. It's at the CAS, it's at all the primaries, and it's understood by all of the primaries and can be used to deploy all kinds of different things, obviously. Operating system deployments, applications, package programs, all of that. So traditionally in 2007, you had your central site, and you had a collection of Win 7 clients. And so, at the Shanghai site, maybe they're doing a rollout of Windows 7, right? So there you create this advertisement of software to Windows 7 for maybe a flattening from Windows XP to Windows 7, and then maybe you, once you've done that, you deploy a bunch of software to it that only works on Windows 7. So in the old world, that would be a very protected, cordoned off activity that was happening in Shanghai. North America, they wouldn't have any effect from that. Maybe they weren't ready to they hadn't moved to Windows 7, they weren't deploying applications that were meant to be run on Windows 7, so that's all fine and good. The issue is that when you move to 2012 and you migrate those over, now all of a sudden you have a globally replicated collection, deployments, and all of that, and now the North America site could be affected by that collection and those deployments. And so in 2012, obviously, what we do is we kind of logically segment out roles and responsibilities and the impact that you can have via our role-based administration, not via deploying out separate primary sites. So that's something that you have to understand. So how we avoid the scope increase is we allow you to then limit the collection. And Wally showed you that option as he walked through the migration. So you'll be able to limit it to an existing 2012 collection and keep that scope reduced, kind of avoiding that impact that you would not want, obviously. So let's just hammer this point home. I know we talked about it several times. Mixed collections, I know in 2007, you could have user and device resource types kind of mixed in the same collections for a variety of different scenarios. You had sub and linked collections that contained mixed types, and you had these collections with limit to queries, multiple collections. So you need to be very aware that we don't support any of those three scenarios anymore in 2012, particularly the user and device mixing. That's something that you'll need to look out for when you're preparing for your migration, going to walk through or do a quick analysis of 2007 and see how prevalent this is in your environment, because those collections are not going to be supported moving forward. So we have some other collection scenarios, and even Wally did a good job of kind of walking through all those as he was doing the demo. But we have the direct membership collections. We migrate those as is, so you have directly included resources in a collection. That's fine. Collections which are limited to multiple collections. So we have that support. We have collections that have queries that reference advertisement IDs. So we have some features within the migration wizard to help you kind of work through some of these scenarios. If you're referencing a site code, we'll help you kind of replace that. So we have some features within the migration job that'll allow you to make those changes on the fly as you create that, so that you won't run into, you know, hey, now I'm referencing in a query a site code that is obviously from 2007 and not in 2012. I saw a hand. We'll have time for questions at the end. Definitely come up and talk to us afterward. So then the question becomes, hey, this is pretty easy. We use these migration jobs. We move the collections over. Maybe I'll just wholesale move everything over. Why don't I do that? That seems easy enough. So remember a few things. So collections in 2012, we use those for more than just deploying software and advertising out packages and software updates and software distributions. We use those now to be able to associate client agent settings with different collections of machines. For example, some specific settings for your servers, maybe some server collections, different settings for desktops, different settings for different users. So you need to think about kind of the other ways in 2012 that we use collections. In addition, we use collections to kind of scope out roles and responsibilities within role-based administration. So there's some new things that we do with collections that you're probably going to want to reconsider how you've built some of them and how you create new collections in 2012. Also, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of folks have used collections to help them with targeting, right? Putting rules in there, like this is a Windows 7 machine with so much amount of memory and so much free disk space, or this collection already has Office 2010 installed because I'm looking at this reg key and I'm building my collection that way. Now, if you think about it, in 2012, we have the application model, which has built-in detection methods and has built-in rules for prerequisites. And so the collections that you created to do that targeting, you may want to do away with or at least modify in some way. So those are some things to consider. And also that scope issue that I was talking about, the global data. So here's a little graphic that kind of speaks to that. We use collections today a lot to segment out your environment. That's how we've done the hierarchy simplification. So the client settings I mentioned, the RBA impacts for being able to set roles and responsibilities based on collections of objects. You'll use collections to target, but as I mentioned, not in exactly the same way you do in 2007. You can do more broad targeting and use rules and detection methods to be able to get apps to the users on the right systems. Obviously, you're going to want to preserve your 2007 investments, and you're going to want to move some collections over, but think about some of the new ways you'll use collections going forward. So, don't try to fit a square peg into a round hole when you're migrating those collections. Think about architecturally how you want to move forward with collections and incorporate some of the new features in 2012 there. So I'm going to quickly move through some of this, and then Wally's going to show a lot about the distribution points in a quick demo. So one of the keys here is, during the migration period, is that we can share 2007 distribution points and allow the 2012 clients to get content from the 2007 DPs. So content, metadata, objects that have been migrated over to 2012, a 2012 client can then talk to its site, MP, and if it's in the boundary of a 2007 distribution point and the content's available, it can pull it from there. It helps with kind of as a stopgap measure for getting content while you're in the migration process. The primary scenario here is obviously for your package programs and your software updates, right? Those are two very important pieces of content that you're trying to get to your clients, and you don't want them to move to 2012 and then all of a sudden, while content is being redistributed to some new distribution points, or maybe you haven't gotten to upgrading that 2007 distribution point yet, we want that content to be still available to the clients for downloading and installing. So it supports all the different 2007 distribution points we have to be able to share those out, whether it's a branch, server share DP, or our standard distribution points. That's all supported for sharing out to 2012 clients. Now, you know that 2012 clients don't understand the old AppV package program architecture. So as we mentioned, the AppV is now part of the application model. So a 2012 client won't be able to download AppV packages from 2007 distribution point, but certainly your software updates and your package programs will be available. So here's an example that just kind of illustrates what I was talking about. I've got some clients. You migrate over some package and programs. Let's say you migrate Office 2010 over. The clients will then go ahead and get policy, do a content request, and then the MP will hand back a list of the distribution points, and if it's in the boundary of a 2007 distribution point, that will definitely be part of that list, and the clients can pull content from that 2007 DP. So some things you want to consider for the shared distribution point feature within migration and how to take advantage of it. First of all, we don't want it to be some permanent thing that you do, right? You want to definitely get to the 2012 DPs, get to that support for app model, get to the support for app V, right? So just use it to fill that gap while you're transitioning. It can be fragile, and when I say fragile, I don't mean it's unreliable or there's going to be problems downloading content. When I say fragile, what I mean is that, you know, you're going to be, as Wally was showing you, potentially changing content or upgrading or doing some administration in 2007 and changing those packages. And then there's a period where you're going to be migrating the changes over to 2012. So there could be some version mismatch information between what the clients are getting as far as policy and what's then available on those 2007 distribution points. So there's some fragility in kind of the system of data moving throughout and making sure that the right versions are there for the clients to pull the content. So we had this goal, which was, and I mentioned this at the very beginning, I think we've been talking about side by side. This is the one area where we want to enable you to upgrade your distribution points. So now moving away from the concept of a shared 2007 DP, let's talk about how you get those DPs to 2012. So essentially, we want you to be able to upgrade those DPs, maintain the content that's there, not have to redistribute all the content, and make it as easy as possible for you to get from all the various 2007 distribution point types that we have, the standard DPs, the server shares, the branch DPs. You might have a secondary site with a co-located DP. We want you to be able to easily upgrade to a 2012 distribution point and start using that. The migration of a distribution point, so we have this distribution point upgrade process. It's end-to-end orchestrated. As I mentioned, it supports taking branch, server share, standard DPs, and upgrading them. The content that's on those 2007 DPs is converted into our new content library, the single instance store. So it'll be ready to go for your 2012 clients and being able to take advantage of some of that consolidation of disk space based on the reuse of files. We also support secondary sites that have co-located distribution points, and we have a process where you can actually take a secondary site with a DP and just migrate that and upgrade that into a DP. In yesterday's session on infrastructure, we talked about the improvements we wanted to make around remote offices and reducing infrastructure there. One of the things is taking those secondary sites that a lot of you customers have at branch locations, and now that we have DPs with bandwidth controls and throttling and scheduling, you want to be able to take those secondary sites and say, I don't need all that heavyweight stuff down there. I don't need a database. I just need a DP that can handle some downward flow of traffic. So being able to get from secondary site in 2007 to a 2012 distribution point was one of the goals we had to put some systems in place for you. So continuing with the upgrade, so the distribution point role can be installed on a client or server. So we don't have this concept of branch DP on client and these other DPs and servers. It's just, hey, I'm rolling out a DP. Here's the machine. So that's good. Client is going to be Vista SP2 and later, and the servers will be 2003 SP2 and later. So we have a readiness state that Wally already kind of showed you in one of the first demos, which is telling you whether a distribution point is ready to be upgraded to 2007 or not. We're going to be looking at, obviously, some of the prerequisites, but we'll also be looking to see that there's no other roles present. So no PIXI, no SMP on that system. If the secondary site is there, as I mentioned, we'll do some things to make sure that you can get that to a distribution point. And with that, Wally's going to dive in and go into details on that wizard and how it works.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. Yeah. So here's our CAS, and it shows you the shared distribution points. And we have this column in here, eligible for upgrade, that Brian was talking about. And you see that in my environment, I have one that is eligible for upgrade and one that is not eligible for upgrade. The one that's eligible for upgrade is my remote DP, no other site system roles on it. The bottom one is the site server. And as Brian just mentioned, no other site system roles can exist on a distribution point other than at a secondary site. So it could be a secondary site with the MP and other roles there, but for a primary site or just a remote DP, no state migration point, no other roles on it. So that's why that one says no. The other reason that you might have a not available or not eligible for upgrade is the available disk space. We also check to see if the computer, the distribution point, has enough disk space to support your migrated content. Now in this case, my one that is eligible says zero. Now that's because of the fact that this is not a ConfigMan 2007 client on the distribution point, just the distribution point, no client on it. Because of that, we don't have hardware inventory information for it, so we can't check the disk space. So we're just going to go ahead and show you that it is available, and then in the wizard, I'll show you in just a moment, we'll tell you how much disk space you really need. Now, in a site server, obviously it has plenty of disk space, but it's not eligible because of other site roles. So what I would do to upgrade is I would take the eligible for upgrade, yes, DP, and you either right-click him or up on the ribbon, I would go to upgrade. And then I specify the site code I want this distribution point to be a member of. So we're taking a distribution point, in this case standalone DP, but it could be a secondary site as a DP as well. We're converting it into a DP. As part of that process, you can designate the 2012 site server you want to attach this DP to. So I can attach it to one of my two primary sites, my secondary site. I can't attach it to my central administration site because the CAS does not support DPs because it doesn't support clients at all. So I can pick and choose which site I want this to be associated with. And then I specify, do I need to support clients over the internet? No, I don't. In this case, because my site server and my DP are in two different forests, I can't use the computer account to connect up and do my work. So I'm going to have to specify a different account to use for the site server to install that remote DP. So I'm going to go ahead and say new account, and this will be SMS domain / administrator. Oops. And my super secret password. And we can go verify that that account will work. And it's going to connect up to a computer called member. And we can just verify it has admin rights. So go to admin $share, test connection. I've got an account that will be able to work. We have to uninstall the 2007 distribution point functionality and install the 2012 distribution point functionality. And because this is another forest, the computer won't be able to send stuff up to me, so maybe I'll say require the site server to initiate connection to the site system. Maybe it's in a DMZ. So I want to have the site server go pull status messages from that DP in this case and bring it over. So you can select that as appropriate for you. Now the rest of this wizard is pretty much just a standard DP installation. We do require IIS on all distribution points. Vista, Windows 7, everything. So all DPs in 2012 require IIS. So this top checkbox is let us Config Manager install and configure IIS the way we need it to be. So it's the easiest thing to do for you. Designate what protocol of clients you want to support, HTTP or HTTPS. If you say HTTPS and you have specified an internet-based FQDN, you could go ahead and drop down and say internet-based clients or not, but we're going to use HTTP. I'll leave all the defaults for everything else. Now, a lot of times you guys today, you go and use the no SMS on drive.sms file to control which drive we dump our DP stuff files to. You don't have to do that anymore, because now what you can do is you can designate, I want Configuration Manager to use drive D on that distribution point. If drive D gets filled up and we don't flip-flop between drives like we do today, we use all of this designated drive until that top value is hit, until there's 50 megabytes of free disk space on that drive. Then we'll switch over to your secondary drive, and you go ahead and say, I want that to be drive N. Now, if both those drives get filled up to 50 megabytes, then we automatically select the third drive. So that's where you might still want to use your no SMS on drive designator. The bottom two options are for the package share, which we don't use by default in ConfigMan 2012. We use the content library and single instance store that Brian was talking about. But if you want to use a package share, then you go ahead and designate that. Pixie settings, Pixie service point is now part of a DP. It's not a separate site system role anymore. I'm not going to enable that right now. Make things quicker. Content validation, one of the cool things I think Brian talked about yesterday was we can validate content on your DPs on a schedule so that you can verify that nobody has modified your files, the hash and signatures are all good. And if we validate that and we see, hey, I got some problems here, then we can bubble that up in a state message that you'll be notified that, hey, this content is invalid, been corrupted, go ahead and redistribute that content. I'll not enable that. It doesn't matter whether you do or not. Boundary groups, I got to have clients be able to access this DP, so I want clients from this site that's going to be attached to. And now the other thing that's new here for upgrade is this screen. And that says, here's your content that has been migrated over from ConfigMan 2007 to ConfigMan 2012. And on this content, here's how much space it consumes today and how much space you're going to need to convert it over to the content library. So we show you the four different packages, or five different packages in this case. The top two are the .v packages, which got recreated. We don't support the old content, so you have to go and redistribute that content. But for your classic packages, it says, hey, here's how much disk space is being utilized. Here's how much disk space you need to have available. And you see it's roughly twice the size of your source files. The reason for that is we leave your source files intact in the SMS PKG C $share. And then we also migrate them or convert them over to single instance store. It could actually drop down in size because of single instance. If you had a single file and multiple packages that have been migrated, we'll only copy that over once to the single instance store in the content library. But I have enough disk space, and so I'll go ahead and say next. And then this will go ahead and kick off that installation of that distribution point. It's going to go ahead and uninstall the distribution point first as the 2007 DP. Then it will go ahead and kick off with an installation of the 2012 distribution point. And this is going to take it a few minutes, so we're not going to have time to see the completed result of it. But what would happen is you'll go over to your member server, in this case, and here you see the drive C. Here you see the SMS package C $share. And in that, here's all the content I have on here. But I only took five of those packages for my migration, so we only convert those five converted packages well, we don't convert the two out, the streaming ones. So the three converted packages will get converted over into the content library. So once the migration's done, you'll see a content library folder appear here with your individual files listed there. But we got to uninstall the 2007 and then install IIS and then do the content library stuff. So it'll take it a few minutes. Last thing I'll show you before I kick it back to Brian is that what that content library is going to look like is if I go on my site server as a DP, 2012, here's your SMS package share, nothing in it. And I have content out here. We don't use this by default. You have to specifically enable it. And we tell you not to in most cases because it doubles your disk space. Instead, we have the SCCM content lib, and here's all the single instance store files on my distribution point. So they're not in package file format anymore. They're in designated file format. And even better, you don't see the type of file there. So you shouldn't have your help desk people go redirecting end users to, oh, yeah, go to this hidden share out there, go to this folder and install your files. Oh, wait a minute, let me change that because it's an out-of-date version, and then corrupting your hashes. So it's all a little more protected now for you. So anyway, let's go look and see if it does say it started that process. It has to replicate down here as well. So go to DP upgrades, and it does say it's upgrading the distribution point. Nice. So this is now at the primary. So it got replicated down from the central administration site using that global replication Brian was talking about. And it's in the process of upgrading that DP. We can go one last little check and see if it is. Got the content library there, yeah? Not yet. So it's probably in the process of installing IIS. But I'll leave this here, and if we get time later on, we can go back and look. We only got 5 minutes left before you guys cut off to lunch, so we'll let Brian talk some more.
Definitely. I will try not to talk too long. I want to be conscious of the getting you guys to lunch. I know, as Wally mentioned, we're always holding you up from your meals, it seems like. So essentially, I mentioned this earlier. I don't have to go into all the details, but when you have the secondary site co-located distribution point, you can go ahead and upgrade that, get that over into a 2012 distribution point where we actually will then remove the secondary site. So let's talk about some of the considerations for content conversion. There's only one type that you is not converted that you're going to need to redistribute, and those are boot images. Some considerations for DP upgrade, so branch DPs, the 2007 client needs to be removed before performing the upgrade. So if you have a branch DP with a CM 2007 client on it, you're going to have to get that uninstalled. There's some content considerations, monitoring for status. So there's status monitoring within there. I'm just moving through some stuff. You can read these slides later. Some best practices. So definitely I want to mention this, though. Start from the bottom up. You don't want to kind of cherry pick off secondary sites that are tiered and distribution points that are parts of sites that are tiered. Right, cut them off in the middle because you'll kind of make it difficult for the system to go ahead and get those upgrades done. Make sure you remove any unwanted data. So clean out content that's kind of orphaned or not being used anymore. Make sure you get things clean so that when we do the migration and the upgrade and convert that content over, you won't have to deal with old stuff sitting there. We talked about the secondary site, being able to get rid of that, move to DPs. Clients, so 2007 clients roaming into 2012 boundaries. You can have 2012 clients roaming in 2007 boundaries. So this is all supported as part of our interop within those modes. Client upgrade. So as I mentioned earlier, we retain the execution history. That's very important. So we're not going to rerun your package programs and advertisements associated with that. We preserve the GUIDs. You're not going to have a bunch of orphan records in there. And we also migrate your variables that you've got in there, the machine variables. And then we do regenerate the inventory state and do a full sync of inventory for that new 2012 client. For client deployment, just a couple notes I'll point out. There's a new switch. It's the SMS MP. So we don't have an SLP role. So if you're using the SMS SLP switch within your Config Manager client deployment command line, you're going to want to convert over to SMS MP. Some prerequisites to know, .NET 3.0 or higher is a prerequisite for client deployment. If we don't find any .NET, then we'll put 4.0 down, or if it's an older version. And then Silverlight is used for the catalog. So when users are going to get go to the portal and download software, we need that Silverlight as a prerequisite. So preparing, some final notes, get to ConfigMan 2007 SP2. That's going to be your migration path. For your collections, we talked about the user and device mixing. Let's avoid that. And when you have, don't use collections with the multiple query rules in it. because it'll limit to different collections. Look for your package source path. Hopefully most of you are using UNC paths. If you have file paths, you're going to run into some issues in migration. We talked about the .NET prerequisite. Make sure if you have XP-based BDPs that you get those to Windows 7, because that's something you can do today, and then that'll easily be able to be upgraded for 2012, because XP would not be supported as a DP in 2012. Look at branch cache as an option. So if you have server 2008 R2 and you've got Windows 7, you can take advantage of branch cache in your remote offices. So you wouldn't need any roles out there, no secondary sites, no DPs. And then we support virtualizing roles and your config man infrastructure. So if you're using virtualization and you can just pump out VMs in a data center, for example, you can start using those to support various roles within 2012. You can read the best practices. We probably touched on all of these throughout the presentation, so I won't recap that. Bunch of sessions, most of them already done, but we do have an app management session this afternoon that I'll be conducting. We'll go deep dive into the app model and the new way of deploying software in 2012. So definitely check that out. And then tomorrow we have a special session on Windows 8 and client management scenarios. So with that being said, really appreciate your time. Wally and I are very appreciative of you being here. Go get some lunch and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.